Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 400, stanzas 1, 3, 5, 6, and 7. Hallelujah. And praise Jehovah, O my soul, Jehovah, praise. I will sing the glorious praises of my God through all my days. 1, 3, 5, 6, and 7 of Psalter number 400. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in Psalm 102. Psalm 102. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless in that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Psalm 102, a prayer of the afflicted when he is overwhelmed and poureth out his complaint before the Lord. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me in the day when I call, answer me speedily. For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned as an hearth. My heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. By reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin. I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I am like an owl of the desert. I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. Mine enemies reproach me all the day, and they that are mad against me are sworn against me. For I have eaten ashes like bread, and mingled my drink with weeping, because of thine indignation and thy wrath, for thou hast lifted me up and cast me down. My days are like a shadow that declineth, and I am withered like grass. But thou, O Lord, shalt endure forever, and thy remembrance unto all generations. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. For thy servants take pleasure in her stones, and favor the dust thereof. So the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. He will regard the prayer of the destitute, and not despise their prayer. This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. For he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion, and his praise in Jerusalem. And when the people are gathered together, and the kingdoms to serve the Lord. He weakened my strength in the way, he shortened my days. I said, O my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. Thy years are throughout all generations. Of old hast thou laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. The children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Mr. and Mrs. John Shipper, who were blessed with the birth of a well-born child in this past week. Jeremy Van Hagenbos, who has had surgery in this past week. The Vanee family, who has lost a brother, and also others, a brother-in-law in this past week. And also Mr. Case Alleman, who is weak at home. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God of heaven and of this earth, we are before thy face, each one of us, in a special way in this morning hour, when we are brought in the way of thy providence to thy house, to thy dwelling place, the place where thou hast promised to be, when two or three may be gathered in thy name, and where thou hast promised to dwell in the midst of thy church, where ever that they may gather over the length and the breadth of this world. And Lord, therefore, in a special way, in this morning hour, are we before thy face. Come into thy dwelling place. Oh, give us then a holy reverence when we are before thee. Oh, give us then the little impression of thy greatness, of thy holiness, and also of our sinfulness and our wretchedness, that we are not able to stand before that holy and that righteous God, that we may come in a right place before thee, that we may attempt to come in a right way in supplication unto thee. And then, Lord, we must begin with a confession of who that thou art, but also who that we are, and what is our life, and what is our heart. Then we cannot come before thee as one who is holy, as one who is clean, but we must confess to thee that we are so wretched, and we are so miserable, and we are so filthy, we are so unclean. That is what is lying in our hearts. And that is what is coming forth from us moment by moment in this world. And Lord, what a wonder. And when we are come and before thy holy face and countenance, that thou dost not in this moment cut us off for daring to come before thee as those that are so filthy and that are so polluted. Oh, we can only ask of thee that thou may look upon us in and through thy dear Son, who it has pleased thee to send into the world, that he may pay the price for sin and for uncleanness. Oh, that thou would view us in and through him who has paid that price for his church, and in whom alone we can come before thy holy countenance. Lord, he was perfect. Oh, he is. And thou didst say thine only begotten Son, but also thy beloved Son. Oh, in him thou seest no spot. In him there is only perfection. Oh, he has kept in before thee that holy law. And Lord, thou knowest all that was laid upon him, that was the sin of thy church. Oh, thou hast promised him a seed, that thou wouldst accept them, whose sin thou hast laid upon him. Oh, he has taken it away, Lord. Thou hast given the evidence thereof. And when thou gavest him to arise from the dead, oh, didst thou not say that thou wast well pleased with all that he has accomplished, and that he has taken away the punishment from thy people, that he has earned for them that eternal life? O Lord, we beseech thee. We are upon the earth yet. O, he is sitting at thy right hand. O, he does come before thee with that blood which he has shed. O, may thou look upon us in and through him. O, accept us, Lord, in that blood that he has shed. Oh, then our sin, that will be removed also from us and from thy sight, that will be cast behind thy back, that it shall be put into that sea of everlasting forgetfulness. Lord, so, and thou hast given thy seed unto thy church.
Oh, that thou may remember us, even in this day. Oh, that thou would give that more may be brought into that fold. Oh, that thou would increase, Lord, and that thou would add unto that seed, even from among us, even from among the children, and the fathers and the mothers, and the young and the old, in whatever circumstance that our life may be. Oh, there is no reason from our side, and thou doest not it for the sake of thy people. Lord, thou doest it for the sake of thine only begotten Son. Oh, may it be experienced also in this day, and that thy people, oh, that they may also be given to see a little bit of that which was accomplished upon that cursed tree. Oh, give them to see a little bit of the blessed satisfaction of that judge on behalf of a guilty and a filthy and polluted people. Oh, that their hope may be set upon him, and that their expectation may be in that good pleasure of the Father. Oh, that thou may give the blessed knowledge of the reconciliation with thee unto thy true church. Lord, wilt thou comfort all those that mourn? Thou knowest that it is so in the midst of us, in a natural way. Oh, that thou may remember each and every one, the wife and also all the family. Oh, may thou be and near and dear to all those who sorrow in their hearts. But oh, may thou give also a sorrow, a true sorrow after that true and the living God. Oh, a missing of him. And that they also may be given to that true comfort. Wilt thou strengthen them in the week that is to come, when they must bring a beloved husband, father, brother, and brother-in-law to the grave. Oh, may thou be on the right and on the left hand in those difficult circumstances. And Lord, remember also from our former place, where also a young man must be taken to the grave in this coming week. Oh, and thou hast taken away from his wife and from his little children, when they must feel the consequences of sin, even when they are still so young. Lord, be with all that mourn, and give us all to gather instruction, because we are so of this earth earthy, and we think here to call our lands after our own names, and to live here forever, Lord. That is our natural state. Oh, may thou open our eyes, and may thou give us understanding hearts in all these ways, that we might learn in a day of grace to cry to thee. Oh, be with him also that is weak in his own home. Lord, oh, thou knowest all that lies also in his heart. Oh, then he does look day by day for the worsening of his condition. And then he is waiting for that time that he shall become worse and worse. Lord, oh, he has still a mind. Oh, thou hast still given unto him life. Oh, give him yet a cry, and give us a cry all together on his behalf in that small time that is left. Oh, that thou may remember him, and that thou may visit him in his own home this day with thy salvation. Strengthen his wife and all his children. And may thou be in that place with thy nearness and with thy presence, and do what we cannot do, and give what we cannot give, and what he does not deserve. Lord, may thou take reasons out of thyself. Oh, thou hast given also that new life, and may be brought in the midst of a family and great gladness. When thou hast made all things well, Lord, wilt thou give us to be glad with them, and may thou give strength to the mother to care for her large family. And may thou give also that in the midst of that family, not only the natural life, but that spiritual life may be born, all binded on the hearts of the children and the parents together. Wilt thou look upon him who has received surgery in this past week? Lord, wilt thou strengthen, wilt thou make further all things well and bless it for the needs of his body? Oh, give all as children also to remember their Creator in the days of their youth, that the natural callings may be blessed, may be sanctified. Lord, wilt thou go before each and every one in all the natural circumstances of our life? Because we remember some, but we do not know the circumstances of all. And thou knowest what they are, because there are also often troubles. There are difficulties between husbands and wives. There are sorrows with children. And this life is experienced to be a great disappointment. Oh Lord, our expectation by nature that is not upon thee, but it is in each other, and it is in all the things of this world. It needs to be broken down. We need to be to learn it by experience, that the callings, that the natural dealings, and that thou hast among us as a congregation may be blessed and sanctified to our souls. And may thou draw us all together upon our knees, that we may seek and that we might find all that we might need. That true and that living God, who has all the power in heaven and in earth, and may it not alone be for the natural things, but may it be in a special way for the spiritual needs. Oh, may it be so even in this morning hour, when we have come to gather in thy house. Oh, that thou may open unto us thy holy word. Lord, give us that freedom that is of thy Holy Spirit, because we do not know what is lying in the hearts of young or old. But we do not know what is in the heart of thy own people. Lord, we cannot give instruction because we are but foolish in ourselves. But thou hast promised that it is by the foolishness of preaching that thou wilt save those that believe. Oh, may it be experienced and in this morning. Oh, come, Lord, be thou feelingly. Be thou believingly in the midst of us as one that doth serve. Forgive all that is sinful. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 114, stanzas 1, 2, 3, 7, 8, and 10. As thirst the heart for water brooks, so thirsts my soul, O God, for thee. It seeks for God and ever looks and longs the living God to see, and longs the living God to see. The last collection today is for the school fund, and we also announce that the consistory meeting is not as announced in the bulletin, but it is scheduled for this week, Wednesday evening, at October 10th at 7:30 p.m. Psalter 114, 1, 2, 3, 7, 8, and 10.
Amen.
a prayer of the afflicted when he is overwhelmed and poureth out his complaint before the Lord. Thus we read, congregation, here a psalm that is coming out of the heart of one of God's true church. And we read that it is a prayer of the afflicted. Do we know what it is to be afflicted? When we are in this world full of misery, then it cannot be strange to us to know what affliction is. That is what we have brought upon ourselves in our deep fall, and what we continue to bring on ourselves because of our wickedness. But do we also know what it is, as may be experienced in the heart of this psalmist, that is to receive another affliction, that is a spiritual affliction? And in that affliction we read that his prayer goes out to God. We are not strangers of what it means to pray. But what do we read here? That he poureth out his complaint before the Lord. Thus do we know what it is, not only to be afflicted, but we read to be overwhelmed. That is, that his affliction is too heavy for him, that he is not able to endure that affliction in his own strength, that he has no wisdom to solve the difficulties that are upon his soul. And in such a condition, then this man, he is receiving a place, congregation. He is receiving a place. Do you know why we say it in such a way? Or how different it is to pray or to pray. But here this man receives a place to pray, yes, or a place to pour out his complaint before the Lord. We wish to consider something of that in this morning hour. From this Psalm 102, there are verses 18 through 20. Psalm 102, verses 18 through 20. This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord, for he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death. So far the words of our text. The Lord's deliverance of Zion. First, the persons who are delivered. Second, the person of the deliverer. And third, the purpose of this deliverance. The Lord's deliverance of Zion. First, the persons who are delivered. We read that in verse 20. Second, the person of the deliverer. We read that in verse 19. And third, the purpose of this deliverance. We read that in verse 18. To hear the groaning of the prisoner. This world, congregation, that is full of prisons. Every place that you may go, whether it be a small village that has its little holding area, or to a larger city or a country. And then every place in this world has its prisons. And we can read of those prisons also in the Holy Scriptures in so many places. What an awful place, boys and girls, must a prison be. Did you ever go to see inside of a prison? That is a place that we hope that none of us will ever have to come. And what an awful misery that is experienced in such a place as a prison. That is a place of darkness. That is a place of dreariness. That is a place of coldness. We don't know what the prisons are in our day. That is not like it was years ago, when we can read of those, even of God's servants, Bunyan, who had to endure so many years in an awful prison. But what is now the character of every prison? Then it is a place which is so lonely. That is a place of separation. Then it is not that there are not others in that prison, but there we are separated from those whom we love. There we may receive our own little cell. And there we are confined unto this place so that we are not able to come and go, that we are not able to see our loved ones, but that we have to carry on our existence alone in this world. That's what an awful place. And why is a prison necessary? Why are there such things as prisons in this world? Because when the Lord created man, then there was no need for such a place. But the need for a prison that has come as soon as sin has entered into this world. Thus, prisons, they are full of those who are guilty. A prison that is a punishment. And punishment is not what man was created to receive, although it lay in the decree of God from eternity. We know that there are always those who are in a prison and that are in a prison wrongfully. What an awful thing. When we are in a prison, congregation, it is even worse. When we are in a prison wrongfully, that is, without guilt, that is, that there is a false accusation and that is placed upon us. We know that it is the lot of many of God's servants. When we go through the history of this world and the history of the church, then we see how did Jeremiah, that was for his faithfulness and for his honesty, and that he is placed into a prison. So we see that Peter is placed in a prison, and Paul and Silas and Bunyan, and we can go on and on. Those who have been imprisoned wrongfully, and your congregation rather be in a prison wrongfully than rightfully. Rather be in a prison innocently than in a prison guiltily. In a prison then there is a certain absence of that which we may enjoy this day. And boys and girls, if we may come there sometimes, then we may come there to visit someone in the prison. And what a great difference that is to enter into a prison in a way of visiting a person in that prison, or to be in that prison ourselves. What is the great difference? You say you are in the same building. Yes, you are in the same building. You may be in the same room. That you may be sitting together with this prisoner. And yet what a difference. And what is that difference? I think, boys and girls, you can tell me. You say, when I visit the prison, I may go out of that prison again. And that is now the difference. Because this other man here, he may not go out of that prison. No, he is locked in that prison. And he has therefore lost his, what? His freedom. He has no power to come and to go. That is not in his power, no, that is in the power of someone else. We say the key that is on the other side of the prison door. Then it is necessary that someone else would open up the door of that prison that he may let him out. The psalm that was written most likely concerning the Babylonian captivity. Thus, here we speak about a prison in a special way. Because it is one thing when we are placed into prison, then we have transgressed. But it is another thing to be placed in a prison as a prisoner of war. What is now the difference between these two? Well, when I have been placed in a prison here in Fort McLeod, then that prison keeper is not my enemy. No, he may not let me out. But that prison keeper is not my enemy. No, he may even be my friend. But here we read about those who are captives. They are in a land that is not their own. And those that have the power, and they are not those in whose eyes that they have favor, but they are their enemies. Thus, they are cruel. And not only cruel, but they are very strong. They have the power, we do not. Cannot imagine what that would be when we would be taken over as countries, the United States, Canada, by the terrorists. When they would come into power, and when the power, the freedom would be taken away from us and from our children. Thus an enemy. Congregation, would that not be so just? Would that not be so just? When the Lord would give power unto our enemies. And why? Because of our transgression. because of our sin as a nation, that the Lord would give them that power. That is the same as it was in that captivity of the children of Israel. Thus that people, they are under the power of an enemy, but that is not just because they are weaker than the enemy and the enemy has wanted their property. Yes, that is a means. But that means that is in the hand of God. That the Lord is using that enemy for the chastisement of his own people. Thus that people, they are in prison. Not just because they have an enemy, but they are in prison because they are guilty. Congregation, that is natural. That is in the natural life. But do you ever feel also to be in prison? Say, we are not in prison. We are still free. We may come and go as we please. We may do as we please. Yes. Is that so? Is it not so that man is in prison? The Lord Jesus speaks about a strong man armed. A strong man armed. Who is that strong man? Do you know, boys and girls? The strong man armed. Who is he? That is the devil. And that devil, he has every one of us by nature as we are born, he has us in prison. Thus we are captives. And we are not able to come and go just as we please. But we are bound. Bound. That it is even our will. Our will is bound. In paradise, our will was not bound. In paradise, we may choose. We may come and go as we pleased. There the Lord, he gave us the ability to choose what is good and what is evil. We may choose whatever one that we please. And now, after we have chosen the evil above the good, then the Lord has given us over into the hand of our enemy. So that we are only able now to choose what is evil. Oh, Satan, he is that strong man armed. And he keepeth his palace. And when he keepeth his palace, all his goods are in peace. Is that so in your life? All your goods, are they in peace? As you are bound in that prison, that is not only the first time, but it also is coming by renewal in the life of the true children of God. So we read when they are brought into captivity in Babylon, what have they done? They served the idols. They did not walk according to the commandments of the Lord.
And the Lord has given his own people, his own children, over into that hand of that enemy. Now, he did not leave them completely, but now they are bound. And what does it mean to be bound? What does it mean to be in prison? That means that we have no freedom, that we are not able to open that door of ourselves. No, that has to be done by someone on the other side of that door. To hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death. Appointed to death. Thus, the prison that is actually a holding place. That is for those who have been sentenced. Those who are soon going to be sent onto the scaffold, but before that scaffold can be made ready, then we need a place that we can hold them, appointed to death. Oh, the prison. The prison is their congregation because of the justice of God. Appointed to death, what did the Lord say? He said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And thus, as we are traveling to that eternity, and as we are going step by step closer to that eternity, then we are bound in that prison. Do you ever feel it? Do you ever feel it? The strength of that strong man armed. And congregation, if never delivered out of that prison, then our appointment, that is death. That is by the righteous judgment of God. To hear the groaning of the prisoner. The groaning. Groaning. Thus, someone is groaning in that prison. That is evident. Then, that prison is a great misery unto this person, because they do not all groan in the prison. Now we read of the children of Israel when they are in Babylon, and that they may be set free again, and many did not have any desire to go. Did they groan in that prison? No. That prison became their home. They gave up their freedom. It was fine that they should live in that land of the Babylonians. They had no desire to return to that God of Israel. Thus, not everyone is groaning in that prison. Are we? Are we groaning in that prison? Under that strong man armed that will not allow us to choose that which is good, that I always have to choose that which is evil? Do I groan? Is that for me a burden that I am in that prison? Oh, as soon as that spirit is coming,
As soon as the Lord is beginning to work, then we are beginning to groan in that prison. Then that prison is becoming to us a bondage. Then we are beginning to long that we may be delivered out of that prison. Who may know it? Of the boys and the girls, of our young people, fathers and mothers, who may know what it is to groan in that prison?
Oh, to groan. That speaks about a people who have no strength left. That is a people who are, as it were finished crying, who are finished pleading, and they have only left a groan. That says that the captivity that has been very long, 70 years for the children of Israel, many of them that went, that is a lifetime. Thus those who have gone into their captivity, they had to die in their captivity. And the Lord has delivered their children out of that captivity. To hear the groaning of the prisoner. That is often long, congregation. It is often long that the Lord, He is allowing His people to groan in that prison. Why? Because there is so much to learn. While we are in that prison, there we have time to consider. When we are all by ourselves, then we can think. And we can ask ourselves, why? Why am I in this prison? Did it ever have fruit in your life? We read about Manasseh. He was brought into that prison. There he may consider. He may think. He may meditate. Do we do that? There he may know, we read, that the Lord, He is God. Did we ever learn that in that prison? We go to our second thought, the person of the deliverer, to hear the groaning of the prisoner. Thus, that groaning, we read here, that groaning that is heard. Someone hears that prisoner. When he is groaning, when he cannot even pray anymore, when it is only but a groan, then someone hears him. Who is that? Well, the other prisoners, they hear him. We read in the Word of God, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. Is that so? Is that so? That there are those who are in that prison and who are groaning in that prison and who are longing to be delivered out of that prison, that you are speaking even to one another. Did you ever find someone else in the congregation who is also in that prison? And that it cannot go on in that prison? To hear the groaning of the prisoner. But it is not then only their fellow prisoners, no. But we read here that it is the Lord. Then that they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And we read, the Lord hearkened and heard it.
And a book of remembrance was written before the Lord for them that feared the Lord. Is that so? That in the book that God is writing the names of those that are groaning in that prison, is your name also in that book? To hear the groaning of the prisoner. Thus, not only those fellow prisoners, but the Lord. He is hearing that groaning. That is such a wonder. And why is that such a wonder? That's such a wonder because of who He is. For He hath looked down from the height of His sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth. Thus, He is in His sanctuary. That is the place where He is dwelling. That is the place of His holy essence, His holy being that is in His sanctuary. And we read, it is the height of His sanctuary. It is in heaven. That is where His throne is. That is high above all the thrones of every monarch and every king that is in this world. Then He is so high, He is so mighty, He is so lifted up, He is so holy, He is so righteous, He is so just. It is the Lord. And from that high and that holy place, from the height of His sanctuary, then we read, He is looking. He is looking down to this earth. What is that? That is His footstool. Created by Him. But they rebelled. They rebelled. Every one of them. All gone aside. Everyone turned out of the way. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. And yet He is looking. He is looking. From the height of His sanctuary, He is looking. And why? Is He looking that He may wipe them all off the face of the earth? Is He looking that He may destroy that rebellious and that wicked people? Oh, He is looking because He will not forsake them. And when He is looking, then He is not looking to the kings and to the rulers and to the monarchs and all that are high and rich and mighty in this world. No, He reached something else. For He hath looked down from the height of His sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth to hear the groaning of the prisoner. That is why He is looking. He is looking that He might hear the groaning of the prisoner from the highest and the most lifted up and the most holy place. He is looking to the lowest, the most cast down, unto that place that is full of sin and full of guilt. That is now the wonder. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. But the proud he knoweth afar off, or he looketh. From heaven did the Lord behold, or that wonder, that person of the deliverer. It is the Lord. It is Jehovah. It is the God of his covenant that is looking, that cannot lie, who has sworn that he shall fulfill what he has spoken. He is looking. Or we read that he has for that cause anointed his only begotten Son. Or what did he say? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Why? That he may preach the gospel to the poor. That he may bind up the brokenhearted. That he may preach deliverance to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. That covenant God, Jehovah, therefore is looking. He is looking and he is, it says, beholding. That is, he is taking the initiative. He is paying attention when he is looking. He is considering, looking for them, that he might see them. And there is not one of them that is out of his sight, looking. And listening to see if there is someone who is groaning, to see if there is someone that needs to be loosed of Israel. We say that the cry of the children of Israel, the Lord says, came up unto heaven, and the Lord heard it. The Lord heard it. And he hearkened, and he came down to deliver his people. Whom did the Lord hear? In this morning hour, did the Lord hear in this morning hour someone who was groaning in the prison? Let us sing. 388. Sing stanzas 1-4 only. To thee, O Lord, I humbly cry. To thee my supplication make. To thee I bring my sad complaint. To thee my bitter grief I take. 1-4 of Psalter 388.
Our last thought, the purpose of this deliverance. This shall be written for the generation to come. And the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. This shall be written. That means, congregation, this shall be recorded. And why recorded? Because the Lord says, this I am going to preserve. And why was the Lord going to preserve it? We read, for the generation to come. That took place a long time ago. Is it ever a wonder that we may have it today? For the generation to come. That is, congregation, for the future church of God. And it is especially for those in that future church that will groan. The prisoners that we read here are appointed unto death. For them it is written. For those who are despondent, for those who are discouraged, for those who are without hope. And what does he say? That these shall praise the Lord. That is the honor of God. We heard it last week. That honor of God that is in the first place. What the Lord is taking care of. So it was in our creation that the Lord has created us to glorify his own name. So the angels do. But for that he has especially decreed the fall and the redemption of man. Because where is that praise going to come from? It is going to come from these prisoners. David said, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his troubles. And the Lord receives no praise from those who were never in a prison and who never needed deliverance. But he is looking down. And he is hearing and he is loosing the prisoners. And those will glorify him. Those will say, come and hear all ye that fear God. And I will tell you what he has done unto my soul. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. And he heard me. He was extolled with my tongue. Oh, we read of Hannah. She says, there is none holy as the Lord, neither is there any rock like our God. Why? She knew what it was to groan in that prison. Mary says, he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. Oh, that is now the people who are going to fill heaven. It is going to be those who have been redeemed in this earth. And the Lord, congregation, is going to teach them how to sing. Read it when you come home in Psalm 103 that follows. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. O congregation, it is not easy to teach a man to praise the Lord. That is not easy. We can have here a choir. But how can a man be taught to praise the Lord who has from the date of his birth learned only to praise himself? Who is a robber of the honor of God? How will the Lord instruct his people to praise him? Because it will be a song that is in harmony in heaven. Oh, did we ever learn to sing?
because the church learns congregation to sing here. We don't learn to sing there. No, there it will be in perfection. There will be in perfection a song that has become in its essence and in its truth here upon the earth. And how only can we learn to sing? That we first learn to groan. How can we know what it is for the prison door to go open, to receive again liberty, if we have never been bound in that prison ourselves? Or what is happening? What is happening when we are being bound by the Lord? When the Lord is showing to us that prison that we are in, we can read it here in this psalm. He says, I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I am like an owl of the desert. I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. Alone, alone. Do you ever spend time alone? Is there a place, congregation, that you need to go alone? Because when we suffer in the prison, then we are alone. And then there is no man, no friend, no dear mother, boys and girls, no dear mother, no loving father, with all his heart would like to come and to open that prison door. No. No. No, in prison then we are alone. And therefore you must also go alone. Because there you must groan alone. Because there is a God. It is Jehovah, and he is waiting, and he is looking, and he is listening. Is there anyone that is groaning? Oh, that true church here on this world, for them it is congregation, a strange mixture of groaning and of singing. Or in that new life. Oh, how does that church sing? When the Lord is drawing that heart away from all this world, when everything is becoming death in this world, oh, how that people learn to sing. A sing with a heart so full of love. Sing with a heart so full of expectation, or love for that God whom they miss. And the Lord is surrounding them sometimes with so much love that they cannot understand why that whole church of God is not singing. And on the other hand, they learn to weep. They learn to weep. That young church, boys and girls, they learn to weep. Why? Because of transgression. Because of sin. Thus, weeping and singing. And you know, the further that people go upon that pathway that the Lord is leading them, then the less singing that the people are doing, the less singing. Why? Because of the more self-knowledge. They had never thought that it would go in such a way. Oh, they sang. They sang, yes, but they thought it would be just a few days, and then in that land of Canaan. But the further they go on their way, the less singing. So perplexing and so mysterious is that true work of God in the soul of His children. Stripping a man of all his own righteousness. Oh, congregation, we don't sing then. We don't sing then. No, that is hard. How can a man sing when more and more his expectation that is only condemnation? Or we can read it. We have sung it together. The psalmist remembered the days of yore, or when he went with joy unto that house of God. Does he not go there anymore with joy? Oh, he would never miss, he would never leave his place empty. But, oh, if only he could sing again. As he has sung in those first times. Oh, they have a difficult lesson to learn. What is that difficult lesson? It is going to be by redemption. It is going to be by redemption. The Lord is going to receive the honor. And therefore, they need first to groan. O congregation, even the true people of the Lord, when the Lord is leading that church further, because there is a people who know what it is then to sing. When the Lord is opening for them that new and living way, oh, then they learn to sing as they have never sung before. Oh, when the Lord is only revealing the smallest part to that people of what free and sovereign grace is to the most wretched and guilty and filthy, polluted creature in this world, the chief of the sinners. Oh, indeed, then that people learn to sing. And you know what they think? They think, now that mourning is done. Oh, now they think I will sing forever. Forever. And what happens? Oh, then unwatchfulness sets in. Go along a little with the world. And they become a little bit sleepy. And before you know it, before they know it, the communion is gone. The communion is gone. And they are lying, sleeping with Samson on the lap of Delilah, sleeping there. And then the Lord, He awakens them. The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. Oh, then the Lord is awakening that people again. But what do they find? Strength is gone. Is the Lord gone? No. That strength is gone. There they have to go into the prison house to grind with Samson. There they cannot cry anymore. The eyes are out.
They cannot weep anymore. Oh, if only they could have a few tears. They remember that time. But their heart that is sighing. Oh, that there is a people whose singing becomes a prayer. And whose prayer that becomes a cry. And whose cry that becomes a sigh. And whose sigh finally becomes a groan. The congregation, sometimes they have no more words to say. No more words to say unto God. When they are in that prison, or is there hope then in that place? Is there hope then in that place? You understand. It is a people who have sinned against received grace. Then you understand why sometimes they go on their knees and they have not one word to pray. Only a groan that comes out of their heart. Is there hope then in that place? When they must look in their own life, no. There is no more hope in that place. But He hath looked down from the height of His sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death. Can we say, people of the Lord? There's only one thing we can say. Groan on. Groan on. And when there is nothing more that you can say, when you come upon your knees, then only let your groan be heard on high. It's just for a short time. The groaning that is for a short time, but that singing, that shall be forever and forever. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, O instruct us in the ways of Thy church. We need to learn to groan because it is our own sin. But Lord, Thou wilt make that people to sing. O that we also may be numbered among them. Bring us safely to our homes. Bring with desire in Thy house. Again in this afternoon hour, forgive the sins of preaching and of hearing. Bless Thy word for Jesus' sake. Amen. 297 stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Oh, praise the Lord, for He is good. His mercy still endure. Thus let His ransom testify from all their foes secure. He has redeemed His captive saints from adversaries' hands, has gathered them and brought them back in peace from hostile lands. 1, 2, and 3 of 297. Thank you. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.